This recording, North Carolina 11, is copyright the International Dialect of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah was a nurse who had been working in a deserted district of the territory for a long time, so she was very happy to start a new job in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer to her, for her, and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She checked herself in the mirror, and she washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain white dress and a furry yellow fleeced jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah a letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the bird. Soon the goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it took some force to trap her, but Sarah managed by gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm and singing to her. Her efforts were not futile. Very soon the goose began to tire, and Sarah gave her a relaxing bath. Then she laid Comma on a cloth for a diagnosis. Almost immediately, Sarah remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. I can't remember the name of the medicine. It came in a fancy jar and was very expensive, but Ms. Harrison, a millionaire's lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. One Sunday morning, we had a very unusual thing to happen at my house. I went upstairs to make the bed, and we've always had some vehicle just rotting down in our yard. For some reason or other, it seems to make the grass grow, or either it makes the rest of us, realize that we don't live forever. Well, we had my husband Mark was a very, he was right exciting. I never was bored with him, to tell you the truth. But anyway, we had been keeping a white poodle dog that had been given to our daughter for a wedding present by her mother-in-law. My daughter and her husband were in Chapel Hill at the time, and which is a whole lot hotter than our native climate. And so Mark had gotten attached to the dog, and so he decided that didn't want the dog to stay in Chapel Hill, but he wanted to keep it here with us. So he got more and more attached to it. Well, the dog slept under our bed. He slept on top of the bed if Mark wasn't at home, which he was traveling and he wasn't home sometimes. But anyway, the dog would sleep on top of the bed when he wasn't there and under the bed when he was there. Well, this Sunday morning that I'm talking about, Mark decided we had this old truck that had been rotting in the yard, you know, for years. And Mark had gotten the engine so it would run, but the truck was most dilapidated and, you know, the whole sides were rotted out. But he and Siri, the dog's name was Cyrano de Bergerac, and we called him Siri for short. Well, Mark took Siri, and he said, "Come on, Siri, we're going over to, we're going to ride in the truck." So Siri, he got in the truck, and he sat up straight in the front seat, and that was the funniest looking thing you've ever seen in your life to see. Mark Bennett with a poodle dog sitting in the front seat of the truck. Well, his mother and his two sisters, very well-to-do people in town, always went to the Methodist church on Sunday morning, which Mark didn't go. We didn't go to church at that time. He also had a brother-in-law that always went over to the New Ray Inn, which is right in the middle of town on the square, or I should say on the square in the middle of town, but anyway, he always went over and sat with the top down on his convertible with his flat straw hat on and a rosebud in his button, in his lapel. And so Mark always, I mean, at this time he was going to show out, I think, you know, try to embarrass the family, because he got Cyrano in the truck and they were going over, and about the time church let out was when Mark was going to pass by the Methodist church and drive on around to the inn, so that he would embarrass Ernest sitting there with his rosebud on. Well, he got him in the truck, and he said, "Come on, Siri, and let's go." And now I was upstairs making up the beds, and I was looking out the window watching, and they didn't know I was looking at them at all. So he got the dog in the car, I mean in the truck, and here they started, and they got around the corner, and the motor died. Well, he had to back, you know, and he said, "Get out, Siri, and let's see what's wrong." So he lifted the hood, and he fumbled around with it, and then it started up again. And so he said, "Come on, Siri, now let's go this time." So this happened three times, and Siri was getting very impatient. And I, all the time, I was looking out the window, and they didn't have any idea I was looking at them. And finally, he said, "Now come on, we are ready this time." And when Siri got out of the car, Mark got out of the car, Siri came around and bit him on the leg. And Mark says, "Why, you little son of a bitch, you get in that car." So they proceeded to go right over and get there right when church was out and right when Ernest was sitting in front of them. And I just thought, you know, that was really ugly.